Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week we are continuing our discussion of renewing our mind so that we can demonstrate the will of God in our lives. And we are specifically this week focusing on the fact that our mind must be renewed to our true identity. When a person puts faith in Christ, bows his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in his sacrifice for us, our sins are legally wiped out because of the cross, and we are justified or acquitted. To be acquitted means all charges are dropped because there's no evidence of any wrongdoing. The evidence of our wrongdoing was obliterated at the cross. God can then treat us as though we had never sinned. He can indwell us and make us into holy, righteous sons and daughters by giving us his life. See, the point of salvation is to transform sinners into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God. And once we are justified, God can then glorify us. Romans 8:30, we've been working on that verse this week, right after Romans 8:29, that says it's our destiny to be conformed to the image of Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote that God has called us, God has justified us, and God has glorified us. Once we're justified, God can then glorify us. He glorifies us by making us alive with his uncreated eternal life in every part of our being. Glorification is another word for full conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. They're the same thing. He fully conforms us to the image of Jesus Christ through a process called glorification, or making us alive in every part of our being with the uncreated eternal life in God himself. Now, the condition of your spirit is the basis of your identity. It always has been. Before you were born again, the problem was not just what you did, namely you committed sins. The problem was with what you were, a sinner by birth. Because of birth into a fallen race, you were born with a nature that was at enmity with God. And you were by nature an object of God's wrath. Ephesians 2:3, Goodspeed's translation says, and by nature we were doomed to God's wrath like other men. But now, through the new birth, you were united to the uncreated eternal life in God himself. You're born of God. You are a son of God. 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And we made the point earlier in the week that conversion is called new birth because you receive new life. You become a partaker of the life that's in God. You're united to the life that's in God, in Jesus, as truly as a branch is joined to a vine, or a head is joined to a body, or a husband is joined to a wife. Now, John chapter 3, verse 6, John 3, you're familiar with John 3. That's the passage where Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, nobody could do what you do unless the Spirit of God was with you. And Jesus answered him in kind of a strange way. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then they have a discussion. This is a veiled reference to the new birth here that Jesus is introducing. But let me just read you one statement Jesus made in this discussion, in connection with our discussion. In verse 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The one who is born of the Spirit, or born again, is spirit. See, that's the seat of your identity. The condition of your spirit is the basis of your identity. You were a sinner. Now you're a son. God's not patronizing you. He's literally made you a son or a daughter by putting his life into your spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him." If you've been with us throughout the week, you know that I pointed out that John 3:16, which says, "Whosoever believeth in Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him there has the idea of believe into." You didn't know what was happening, but when you believed on Jesus, the Holy Spirit united your spirit to the uncreated eternal life in God, and now you have union with God, or you've been glorified. Glorification means receiving the uncreated eternal life of God. It's come into your spirit through the new birth. It will transform your physical body and glorify it at the second coming of Jesus. And now as you expose yourself to the Word of God, the mirror of the Word, and pray in the Spirit, that glorification can take place in your mind and your emotions. But the point for this week is you must learn to see yourself as you truly are. See, that's what renewing the mind is, learning to see things the way they really are. Reality as it truly is. Well, you need to learn to see yourself as you truly are. You need to see your true identity instead of how you merely look and feel. There's more to you than how you feel and how you look. You must learn to identify with the part of you that was changed, your spirit. See, the changes in our spirit are the basis of our identity. They can and they should affect our soul and our body in this life. And they are the guarantee of full conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. When we see him, we shall be like him, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says. The Apostle Paul wrote that we are no longer to see ourselves according to the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh." Now, let's define flesh here. There's a lot of ideas about flesh that are inaccurate. Let me give you the best definition you're going to find of what flesh is. Your flesh is made up of the parts of you that were not directly affected by the new birth. That would be your physical body. That would be your emotions, and that would be your mind. Your mind, your emotions, and your body all count as flesh. And you are no longer to assess yourself or to know yourself according to the flesh or the unchanged parts of you, the parts of you that have not yet been glorified or made alive with the life of God, the parts of you that have not yet been fully conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Let me read you a couple of translations of 2 Corinthians 5:16. Weymouth's translation says, "Therefore, for the future, we know no one simply as a man." Moffat's translation says, "Once convinced of this, then, I estimate no one by what is external." That's good. We're not to assess ourselves according to what we see on the outside. We assess ourselves, see ourselves, according to what we see on the inside, what the Word of God tells us about these internal changes that have taken place in our spirit because we're born of God. Phillips' translation says, "This means that our knowledge of men can no longer be based on their outward lives." Now, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man according to the flesh," that's 2 Corinthians 5:16. Well, if we look at the verse before and the verse after this statement made by Paul here, it gives us an interesting context. The preceding verse, verse 15 says, "And Jesus died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh." And then verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." See, the verses preceding and following give us the context. We must see ourselves according to what we are in our spirit through the new birth and union with Christ. Verse 15 says that Christ died for all of us so that being alive, should no longer mean living with our own life, but with his life who died for us and has risen again. That's Knox translation. And then verse 17 says, therefore, if you are in Christ or in union with Christ, is the idea there. Many translations read it that way. Therefore, if you are in union with Christ, you are a new creature. A new creature is a human being with the life of God in his spirit. The verse goes on to say, old things have passed away and all are become new. What old thing? The spiritual death that was in you because you were born into a fallen race. Coney Bear's translation says his old being has passed away and behold, all has become new. Now, the epistles, the letters written to the churches, have much to say about the changes in our spirit because of the new birth. We'll discuss them more fully in other lessons, but consider these points. The life of God, the eternal, uncreated life of God is in you now, in your spirit. It's the same life that reanimated the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever is in that life is in you, in your spirit, because that life is in you. See, if you got a tomato vine, well, the life that's in the vine is the same life that's flowing through the branches. Has to be, because they're in union. If you got a plant in your house, look at it. If you got a tree out in the yard, look at it. The branches share the same life as the trunk or the vine. Whatever's in the life in the vine is also in the branches. So the life that's in you is the life of God. What's in that life? There's holiness in that life. There's righteousness in that life. That means there's holiness in you. There's righteousness in you. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, I don't have time to read the whole passage, but it's a different way of saying be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in that passage, Paul gives us a detail about the new man. He says, put on the new man, the regenerated, born-again human spirit, which is made out of righteousness and true holiness. See, this is how God makes us into his holy, righteous sons and daughters. He shares his holiness and his righteousness with us by giving us his life. And now we must learn how to let these inward changes affect us outwardly, but renewing the mind is key, and seeing yourself, recognizing your identity is based on these changes. More tomorrow.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.